So for those of you who are visiting today, I am not Pastor Zach. I am Pastor Keith. I'm the associate pastor here at The Crossing, one of them. And I am over the youth and operations, I guess is what you call it. It's what he called it the first day. And basically, I do the dirty work, the maintenance and all that. And so, maintenance man, but that's all right. I love it. But anyways, it's good to be back. I don't know about, maybe some of y'all have been traveling to see family like I have. And thank you, everyone. Give my wife a hand clap. That's what I'm talking about. You're so good to me. Anyways, but it's good to be back home. You know, we've only been in Texas for a year now, and don't get me wrong, I still bleed Arkansas, but after spending 2 weeks in Arkansas, I am glad to be back in Texas, where people know how to drive. Can I get an amen? Okay, if you go to Arkansas, you know what I'm talking about, or Louisiana. I've learned Louisiana is pretty bad too. Anyways. I'm happy to be back. I hope y'all are happy to be back. I hope y'all had a good time celebrating the Christmas season with your family and your loved ones. And but it's good to be back. And today, you know, we're fixing to get ready. This next year begins Tuesday. 2019 rolls in Tuesday. It's crazy. But many of us we'll begin these things called New Year resolutions. How many of y'all have ever already began working on your New Year's resolution? Like, me and Tiff said it like 15 times when we were eating all the Christmas food. We were like, man, when 2019 gets here, we are going to eat better. It'll last a little bit, probably. But the truth is that the New Year is fast approaching, and that we are on our way to making goals and plans and things for your new year. Many of you, you may not have wrote them down on paper, but you have started to process in your mind, what am I going to do different this year? What is a goal that I have in mind for this year? What are plans that I have for this year? What is my purpose for this year? And I titled this sermon today, #LifeGoals. I love the hashtag, because here's the deal. If you get on Facebook or Instagram, you see all the 15-year-old teenagers posting like pictures with their little boyfriend and girlfriend, and it's like #relationship goals, #life goals, and you're like, yeah, you know, and you've been married for, well, me and Tiff's anniversary is actually on the 1st. We'll be married for 8 years. Aw, everyone, ready, get it out. Aw. Anyways, feels like yesterday that we just got married. It's been 8 years already. Crazy. But anyways, but you see these little pictures on Instagram with the teenagers and even adults. They'll do like #life goals, #relationship goals. And the truth is that we all have goals in life, and we all have places we want to end up in life. And today I want to give you a mindset to help you plan your goals for 2019. I want to help you reflect a little bit, and I want to help you prepare yourself to begin to make goals that will set you up for maybe success, that will at least help you prepare you to make the right goals, the accomplishable goals, the goals that you will achieve. Because I believe when we put our priorities in place, when we put the right things at the top and the right things at the bottom, we can make effective goals, because we can make them with intentionality and we can make them with direction. And so today I want to talk to you about #life goals. You know, I believe that your approach will determine your outcome. Your approach in anything will determine your outcome. The Bible says that a gentle word turns away wrath. That's not on the screens. That's not part of the notes for today. But it's true. If you approach people gently, it will determine the outcome of how that person reacts towards you. If you approach business in a right mindset, it will determine your success in that business. Does that make sense? Your approach will dictate your outcome. And so today, and in the next few days before Tuesday, as you're planning your year, or as you're making those goals, like you want to get in better shape, or maybe you're making those goals where you want to hit a new financial goal, Or maybe you're making those goals of you want to bring one person to church. Whatever those goals that you set are, your approach to those goals will dictate your outcome. The mindset at which you walk into those goals will determine whether you accomplish them or you give up halfway through. And so I want to talk about two questions. There's a lot that goes into goals, okay? And we could literally do a whole series on life goals. But I want to focus on two questions today that I think are the beginning processes of making goals for 2019. Making goals for your spiritual life, your physical life, whatever the goals may be. I think that it has to start with two questions. But first, I want to look at a story in the Bible to help us frame this up. I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Many of y'all know this, and we're going to read through 10. But Jeremiah is just a cool prophet in the Old Testament. Not many people like him, and we'll get into that later. But if you are ready, verse 4, chapter 1. Then the Lord gave me this message. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I point you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build and plant. So the first question I want to look at today is, why do I exist? Why do I exist? And you say, Keith, that's a big question, you know, and I believe it is a big question, but I believe when you ask that question, in order for you to be intentional with your goals and to make directional choices, you know what I'm talking about, directional choices, choices that will point you in the place where you're supposed to be, direction, they will give you direction and intentionality. Before you can make those goals, you have to know why you exist. What were you made for? What is your purpose for being? Why do you exist? See, I think there's a big problem in America today because a lot of teenagers are struggling with this right now. Why do I exist? That's why, if y'all didn't know, that's why the suicide rate is so high in our nation today. Is because people are having this identity crisis. They can't make goals. They don't feel satisfied. They don't feel fulfilled because they don't know why they exist. It's a big deal. It's a hard question to ask. And what they do is they turn to the world. They turn to other people to answer this. See, like the materialistic person in our world says, look, the whole purpose of life, the whole reason for existing is for you to get more stuff. It's for you to have the most you can have on this earth. Drive in the Lamborghini, or for some of us, Carlton's in here, the Toyota Tundra. You know what I'm talking about. That dream truck. I want one too. But you know what I'm saying. It's the materialistic says you got to have the most stuff. Teenagers see it every day. When I went to school in Bentonville, just a little story. I went to school in Bentonville High School in Arkansas, and that's the home of Walmart corporate, the corporate office. Everyone has, there's a lot of CEOs, directors, senior directors that make pretty good money. I drove a beat up 1989 Honda Prelude, okay? I'm talking about, you know, the old school where the lights flipped up, you know? Mine was broken, okay? And so mine would wink at you. Yeah, only I'd have to get out and hit it and pry it open, okay? So that was what I drove. It was awesome. I loved it. Favorite car to this day, a little 6-speed standard. Loved it. I would take it again. But I drove this, and I remember parking to like next to like Camaros and Corvettes and Lamborghinis. And then like people like getting out, and you know what? They just look at it like, I can't believe I have to park beside this guy. But teenagers deal with that stuff. They deal with the, Are you wearing the right clothes to fit in? The materialistic person will tell you that life and the purpose of life is all about what you own. And see, I was watching this interview with Oprah Winfrey. How many of y'all know who Oprah is? Yeah, some of the women used to watch her all the time before she retired. I don't know what she does now. I was never all that into Oprah. But CNN asked Oprah, what is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? You know, this is someone that our nation looks to for wisdom, you know, and they look to for guidance. And guess what she says? You got to figure it out yourself. Thanks, Oprah. And so you get these statements, and these kids, and not just kids, adults too. We do it too. Some of us get in that routine. You know what I'm talking about, where we go in and day out, and we begin to question, is this what I was made for? Is this why I exist? Is this what I'm supposed to do with my life? And we get into these questions, and we begin to let the world dictate the answer. In Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah in verse 4, he says, look, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you. Can I tell you, you don't have to look to Oprah to find out what the purpose of life is today. And you don't have to look to the materialistic person. You don't have to look to your business. You don't have to look any further than right here today, because this same word applies to you. And the fact that God knew you in your womb, in your mother's womb, not your womb, in your mother's womb, formed you, consecrated you, set you apart, and has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. And so what I'm saying today is the reason you exist on this earth, your purpose on this earth is for God's plan, not yours. It's for God's plan, not yours. That's hard to come to grips to sometimes, because I feel like a lot of times the plans we make for the new year are personal ones. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong. Not all goals for personal well-being are not, those aren't bad goals. They should be there. But sometimes we plan things like, I want to get the newest truck this year, or I want to get the newest whatever. And we make these personal wants and desires. And maybe some of them are desires that God wants you to have, but you never consult with him. That's the problem. Is we begin to make goals and we never consider what God would want. Many people struggle to find their purpose for existence. And they look for purpose in all of the wrong places, and then they complicate it. They complicate it. If I could just have this much money, if I could reach that pinnacle, everything would be okay. They negate their trust. They neglect their trust in God, saying, God, I don't trust you. I'm going to take matter into my own hands, and I'm going to plan this year by myself. But when we understand, church, when we understand that we exist for God's purpose and not ours, when we pursue God and we consult with him before the new year begins, and making those goals and making him a part of our life, we begin to make an intentional statement to God saying, I trust you. I'm going to allow you to direct my life. And then when I know God's purpose for me, when I know that his plan, I was created, I was born, I was brought into this world for his plan and not for mine, I can then make decisions that are intentional. You know what I'm saying? I can make choices that point me in the right direction. For instance, in high school, I used to play in a metal band. I know it's hard to believe. Okay, but I used to have hair down to like here. And I used to get on the guitar and I used to play these shows and I'd like whip my hair back and forth and headbang. And, you know, we played that music where it was like, rah, 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 da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And that's what we'd play. And I decided that's what I was going to do with my life. That was a smart choice. And so I was like, I'm going to play music for the rest of my life. I knew what God had called me to do. I knew what my purpose was. I knew he had called me at a young age to preach. I knew I was going to be a youth pastor one day. I didn't know I was going to turn into an associate pastor and all that. I didn't know the plans. I didn't know the big picture, but I knew what he wanted me to do. But you know what? I wanted to play music. So I began to make plans to play music for my future. I began to take matter into my own hands. And so you know what we did? Our band booked a tour. Yeah. Out of high school, okay? Band booked a tour. We had a 15-passenger cargo van, not even a, like, it's like a 15-passenger van, but without the 15 seats. You only have the two front seats, and then the whole rest of the back of the van is open, okay? And we loaded all of our gear in there. We had a guy book shows, okay, between Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma, and back to Arkansas, okay? And we had this guy book shows, and in this van, we strapped our gear to the sides. You know what I'm talking about? And then we all we rode in the middle, like on sleeping bags. Okay? This was after they had instated the seatbelt policy. It was not before. So for all you cringing moms, yes. Okay. And so we went and we went on tour. It was this is what I'm going to do with my life. This is who I'm going to be. I'm going to have 80s metal hair down to my waist, and I'm going to be the next Eddie Van Halen, and that's what I thought I was going to do. And so we went, and it was the worst experience of my life. It was the worst experience of my life. Okay, y'all don't judge me, okay? This is fixing to come out. We could not afford food, okay? So you want to know what we did for food? We would wait behind the Little Caesars pizza place, because at the end they throw the hot and ready pizzas out in the dumpster. Yeah, I'll just let y'all think about that. And so that's what we had to do for food. But that's how it happens most of the time, is that we lose our purpose. We lose the reason. We lose sight of why we exist, why God brought us into this world. And then we begin to take matter into our own hands and plan for desires or wants that we put in our hearts that God never intended. And when we do that, things tend to get a lot worse. A lot worse. Think of, it brings to mind in the Bible the story of Elimelech. And Ruth and Naomi, and Elimelech and Naomi, they go over to, they leave Bethlehem, which is God's blessing, his provision, the place where God, it's literally translates to God's bread. Okay. And they leave it and they go over to, Moab. And what happens? He dies. Because there was a famine that was placed on Bethlehem, and he didn't trust God to provide. And so he said, I'm going to go make food for my own family. I'm going to go make my own plans, God. I'm going to go create my own purpose. And when the second he does that, him and his sons die. Usually when we take plans or matters into our own hands, instead of consulting God, instead of focusing with the mindset of why I was created and what I exist for, we take it into our own hands and then we mess things up. We complicate things. But this year can be different for you, church. This year can be different for me. See, I was reminded this year as I'm reflecting back on 2018 and a lot of things I regret. Me and Toby, we're not at the beach bodies we hope to be. We didn't have the stuff. We didn't have the goals, the mindset. Toby's further than I am. But we didn't stick with it, you know? And I regret that. And then I asked myself, why? What was the reason for do it? Why did that goal exist? Listen, God desires for you to take care of yourself, okay? Being healthy is a good thing. But I began to question, why did I even approach that goal? This year, when you sit down and you make your goals for the next year, approach them with the mindset of, what is my purpose? Okay, God, my purpose is for your plan, not mine. So what do you desire from me this year? You get the difference? I want a beach body. That's not saying, God, what do you want? That's saying, Keith, you know, I want that six pack. That's Keith talking. But this year can be different. This year, we can approach it with the right mindset, saying, God, I exist for your plan. What do you want to do? Your approach changes your outcome. I believe if you approach goal setting this year, or New Year resolutions, or your hashtag life goals, if you approach those this year with the mindset of, I exist for God's plan and not mine, I believe you will be much more successful in accomplishing them. The second question I want to ask you today, after why do I exist, I believe the second question we need to ask ourselves before we even begin to set goals and plan goals is, what is going to motivate me? What or who? That's an even better question. Let's look at the story of Jeremiah. In verse, we're going to look at, he's one of the best examples. He goes from this moment in chapter 1 where God calls him to this ministry. And he's like, you're going to tear down nations. You're going to build up and plant nations. And Jeremiah's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I am the destroyer of nations, you know, and the builder. And, you know, I mean, that could go to one's head real quick, especially mine. So then, but Jeremiah's like, he goes from this moment in chapter 1. And then in chapter 15, look what it says. It says, then I said, verse 10. He said, then I said, what sorrow is mine, my mother? Oh, that I had died at birth. I am hated everywhere I go. I am neither a lender who threatens to foreclose nor a borrower who refuses to pay. Yet they all curse me. So he goes from this moment where God's calling him and he's excited. Like, you can sense it when you read the story. There's this level of excitement. And then he comes to this place where he's like, oh, that I would have died at birth. It would have been better that I would have never even been born. It's two extremes. But here's my question, and here's the purpose of me reading this today, is there's going to be a point this year in the midst of those goals that you plan, that those goals that you are setting, that you know they're going to help you achieve God's plan for your life. When you set those goals, there's going to be a moment in your life where you feel like giving up, where you wished that you would have never started. You know what I'm saying? There were moments in Toby and Maya's life when we're sitting there lifting the weights at the gym and we're like, why did we even start this? I remember one day we're sitting there and halfway through, we're like, what time does Chick-fil-A close? Like, there was nothing, I hate to say it like this, there was no motivation. We were motivated because we wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, so let's just quit. You know? But there's going to be points when that financial goal comes and you decide, I'm not going to eat out, or I'm going to budget this amount to eat out, and you come to that, and then there's going to be that night where your budget is gone. You don't have any more finances to eat out, and you're going to stand there, and you're going to be like, man, I'm too tired to eat, to cook, especially the women. All right, say amen. Some days y'all don't want to cook for your, you know what I'm saying? It's easier to go grab a pizza. And those days are going to come and the budget's gone. What motivates you to stand firm? What motivates you in that moment where you feel like giving up on the goal, giving up on the plan? What motivates you to push through? See, I think it's important that we ask that at the beginning, because then we can push through. See, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He was brokenhearted over his message from God. Everywhere he went, he had to deliver destruction. Everywhere he went, you read the New Testament, everywhere he went, it was constant destruction. God is unhappy with you because you'd messed up again. He's going to come and you're going to go into captivity, all this stuff. And Jeremiah, he's known as the weeping prophet. Let's just say that you don't want Jeremiah coming to your house. But I love it because yet God has his plan for Jeremiah to deliver this message, and he comes to one of these days where he is just done. You know, Jeremiah is just done. He has his plan. He knows what he exists for. He knows his purpose. But he comes to this moment where he's done. And let's read on real quick. Jeremiah 15, verses 11 through 15. I love what God says. He goes, "The Lord replied, 'I will take care of you, Jeremiah. I will take care of you. Your enemies will ask you to plead on their behalf. In times of trouble and distress, can a man break a bar of iron from the north or a bar of bronze at no cost to them? I will hand over your wealth and treasures as plunder to your enemies, for sin runs rampant in your land. I will take your enemies to take you as captives to a foreign land, for my anger blazes like a fire that will burn forever.' Then I said, 'Lord,'" this is Jeremiah, he says, "Then I said, 'Lord, you know what's happening to me. Please step in and help me. Punish my persecutors. Please give the time. Give me the time. Don't let me die young. It's for your sake that I am suffering.'" There's this mindset that clicks in Jeremiah. He's like, look, you know what's happening. This is your plan for my life. You said you're going to take care of me. Do it. Give me the time. Don't let me die young. Do it. See, there's this sense of accountability, though. See, if you don't have something to motivate you, like a reward, you need to have someone to motivate you, someone to hold you accountable. And who is that for your goals this next year? For Jeremiah, it was the blessing of God. He said, look, I am going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. Listen, this is what I'm going to do to your enemies. He says, push through. And Jeremiah is motivated, and he reflects. He said, this is what I'm created to do. You know what's happening. You said you're going to take care of me. Do it, and I'll go. And then he goes. And don't be confused, because later on in the book, he goes to the same place. Later on in the book, again, he says, Lord, why was I born? Oh, that I was born. Why couldn't I have died? He says it again. And the purpose is, look, there are going to be times when you make goals, when you make plans this year for God. Maybe they're God-given desires and they're God-given plans. But there are going to be times, tough times, where you feel like caving in. You feel like, this is too much. This is more than what I signed on for. And in those times, you either doubt God or you trust him. You either doubt him or you trust him. See, I listened to a friend this past week. One of my pastors, my previous pastors, his wife passed away of 25 years and from cancer. And she has a son who is a freshman in college. And she's battled this cancer for 13 years. And they've prayed. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've prayed day in and day out. And the church has prayed for them. Our church, our leadership has prayed for them. I've sent it out on our leadership board. They've seen it. They've prayed for them. And God, for some reason, chose a different kind of healing than what we were expecting. She passed away. And I listened to him preach this message called The Intersection of Doubt and Faith. When you plan goals this year, when you plan goals in your life, you're going to come to this intersection where you either have the motivation and the faith in God that you push through, or you doubt. Or you doubt. Maybe it's not goals. Maybe I'm speaking to something deeper tonight. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you're doubting. Is God who he says he is? Am I really created for this? Do I really matter? Maybe it's deeper than just planning for the goals that God has. Maybe it's something like, maybe you have a family member who has cancer, and you prayed and you come to this intersection where you just don't understand, but you have two options, doubt or faith. But I listened to this pastor preach this word, and he amazed me, because he stood up there and he said, I'm here to tell you that God is who he says he is. Jeremiah later on in scripture writes, he goes, God tells Jeremiah later on in scripture in verse 29:11, we all know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Sometimes it's hard to hold on to that, but I'm here to tell you that I know that God is who he says he is, and his plans for you are better than the plans that you could make on your own. This morning, I just want to bring some encouragement to y'all. I think that your approach, I've said it 100 times this sermon, your approach will dictate your outcome. The way you approach things will determine your success in those things. If you have the mindset, I exist for God's plan and not for my own, if you find your identity in God's plan, he'll set some pretty good goals. He will. And he'll get you there. And the second thing is, if you allow him to motivate you, there are the right people. Let me say that. Pastor motivates me more than anyone a lot of times. Well, actually, my wife, then pastor. But Tiff motivates me a lot of times. And pastor motivates me a lot of times. And it's always to do better. You know what I'm saying? It's always to go further than I thought I could go. Surround yourself with the right people. It may not be that spiritual. It may not be. You're like, what? You're sitting up here on the pulpit saying it may not be that spiritual. No. It may be your wife saying, look, you're gaining a little bit of weight. You need to go to the gym. I'm speaking from experience. I'm just kidding. She's never been blunt. Find somebody that holds you accountable, that motivates you. Maybe it is Christ. Maybe you just, that hunger to want to know him more is going to push you to accomplish a goal to read your Bible more this year. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's every Thursday when I hang out for 2 hours with your teenagers and then I feel like quitting the next day. Maybe it's pastor giving me a phone call and saying, dude, you're doing a great job. I'm just kidding. I don't feel like quitting every Thursday. I feel like I'm ready for the next Wednesday half the time because I love you guys. Love you guys. The point is, if we approach this next year with the right mindset, I believe God has great things in store for the Crossing. I believe he has great things in store for you individually. Every head bowed and eyes closed. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have a plan, Lord, that is better than our plan. Father, that I don't have to figure things out by myself, like Oprah said. Lord, that it's not about how much I own. It's not about how much I have. I'm thankful for that. But Lord, I can just trust you. I can find your plan is better than mine. I can trust in your plan because you said that you knew me while I was formed in my mother's womb, God. Before I was born, you had a divine plan for me. You had goals and accomplishments and blessings that you wanted me to go through and you want me to experience, God. And you deemed them from the beginning of time. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful for people that are surrounding me in my life that motivate me. God, for the people that push me forward when I feel like giving up. The people who speak life into me. Lord, I pray this year that as we begin to set goals, God, Lord, when we do our vision casting meeting in January, like we always do as a church, God, the goals, the plans, Lord, that are set into motion that day, God, Father, that you would help us to remind us of our purpose. Why does the Crossing exist? Why do these goals exist? Lord, it's for your plan, not for ours. And what's going to motivate us? Your people, your heart, you. Thank you, God. Maybe you're here today and you've been in that boat and you you say, Keith, I ask often, why do I exist? I'm filled with this unsatisfying feeling, this unfulfillment day in and day out. I feel like I'm in routine, and I question often, what is my purpose? Was I made for something greater than this? Was I made for... Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're here and you don't know God. You say, Keith, how can I know God has a plan for me? And how can I know what that plan is if I don't even know Him? It's a good question. I'd like to introduce you to Him. Romans chapter 10 says that if we believe in our heart, if we confess our sins and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, then we will be saved. This morning, I want to give you the option. We're fixing to do confession part here in a minute as a group. No one will be singled out. But then believing comes the day to day. Maybe you're here today and you say, Keith, I need to know God. I need to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. If that's you, I just want you to make eye contact with me where you're at. No one looking around. This is very private for some people. It's very personal. We want to respect that. All right. See those eyes. So if everyone will pray with me together. Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I know that you died on the cross and rose again for me, and that you are the Son of God. Be my Lord, my Savior, and I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.